I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 290. Okay, the first one. The creepy curtain. Hey, Donna and Carrie. Can I just say I adore both of you? I found you in 2020, and after listening to you nonstop through the P word, pandemic, two pregnancies with hyperemesis and training for two marathons, your voices have become like a cozy blanket. I love you guys. So here's my story. I have two daughters, a three-year-old, L, and one-year-old, E. We moved into our current home in Texas a year ago, and the girls now have separate rooms. We use blackout curtains in both. We don't spend much time in the baby's room, but about 6 months ago, my older daughter, L, walks over to the baby's room and croaks out a, "Mom!" I come back over and ask what's the matter. She points through the pitch black room towards the blackout curtains and says, "It has scary eyes." The hairs on the back of my neck stood up, but I tried to stay calm. The room is basically empty other than a crib, rocking chair, and a dresser. She repeated, "It has scary eyes." And I asked her, "What did?" She pointed to the curtain, again saying, "That, the curtain." Freaked out, I turned on the light, opened the curtain, and said, "Look, all better," and took her to play elsewhere. Flash forward several months, and we are by E's dark room again. She starts to get panicky and again points to the curtain and tells me, "It has scary eyes." And I asked her, "The curtains?" She nodded. In an effort to play it cool, I told the curtains, "You're scaring my daughter. Please be kind." And then told L, "Maybe the curtain's grumpy. Let's make silly eyes and maybe the curtain will too." So we make silly faces, sticking our tongues out and pretending to have googly eyes. I ask L, "Did it work?" Still scared, she says, "No, they're still scary eyes." At that point, calm mom was quickly receding, so I grabbed her and noped out of there. We've had a few C words in there since moving in. I'm not sure which is worse, a scary eyes curtain hiding ghosty or another thumb-sized you-know-what. In the last 3 years of parenting, I truly have come to believe that kids and dogs have a sixth sense. They can immediately pick up on bad vibes. They also don't watch TV other than Disney movies here and there, so I can't imagine where she would pick up something like that. Elle is also just getting to the imaginary play years, but it's only ever making voices for dolls, not making up fake situations or mimicking fear. I believe her. And I'm ripping down those blackout curtains this weekend. Creep it real and wish me luck, my friends. Abby from Texas.
I believe her too.
Abso-freaking-lutely. I was really hoping when you said that you like told it like chill out that it was going to listen.
Yeah. And like her say, "Oh, it's gone."
Yeah. But alas, it's a jerk.
Right. I do love a good blackout curtain, though.
It's very hard to wake up, though.
Yeah. But it sounds like in that room, it would be hard to fall asleep.
For real. But like there wasn't anything like a, all I could picture is like an exit. Like an exit sign. You know how it has like, yes, red eyes? Because I'm picturing red eyes.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't anything like that might have shone through or.
And it's a blackout curtain though too.
Yeah. But like, you know, if they're kind of just separated, yeah, just a little, like if it was two together, there might have been something peeking through.
Yeah.
I don't know. And from how young they are, like how little they are, they may be seeing a different angle than, yeah, you could, you know, to see if something's peeking through. What the hell do I know?
Okay, the next one. The night I freaked out a coworker. Hey ladies, I'm writing again and it's July 11th, 2024. Here are two things that happened at a place I worked. 2 years ago, I worked at a small shop. There was a wall of games. They were on their sides, flat against the wall. So if you were looking at them, you would see the top of the boxes. It was almost closing time, so I'm walking through, straightening up. I get to the games, there's one on the floor. I pick it up, put it back. I turn, take two steps, hear something behind me. I look, there's a game on the floor. I put it back. Turn, two steps, it happens again. The games are landing 2 to 3 feet from the wall, and it keeps happening. My coworker is behind the counter watching this. The fifth time, I picked up the game and put it back. Before I step away, I say to no one, "Look, I know you think this is funny, but I'm tired of it, so knock it off." I walk over to the counter, I look at the coworker, and her eyes are huge. She asks who I was talking to, and I say, "The ghost?" She was not amused, but nothing fell off the rest of the night. Another time, same place, getting ready to close, fixing clothes on a rack. There were a couple of customers still shopping. While I'm working, I see someone come up to me out of the corner of my eye. I turn thinking a customer needs help, only it's not a customer. I see a really tall, like over 6 feet dark shadow, and it's solid black. I can't see through it. All black, no face, but I feel it's looking at me. The strange thing is, I'm not scared. A bit startled, but I didn't feel threatened. It seemed like a long time, but I know it wasn't. It just faded out. My feeling is that it just wanted me to see it. So those are my work stories. Next time, I'll tell you about my dad, Julie S.
Y'all are so brave just to be like, bitch, to a ghost. But I'm with you. Look, I'm tired. Stop that shit.
Also, how did they get the games on the ground without, like, all the pieces flying?
Facts.
You know, that had to be a supernatural thing, because if it would have been like Carrie knocking it off, like all the pieces would have got seed all over the place.
Or sometimes my strange talent is that it wouldn't have.
Very true. But it would have been at an angle. Like it would have been like, how did it land straight up?
True.
Well, and we're all ears about your dad. So go ahead, write in, Julie.
Well, before we get into the next story, we have to talk about Ollie. Because look, we have been feeding our dogs this freaking dog food, and it is so yummy for the dogs. I haven't tried it, but I probably could. It seems pretty legit.
Yeah, it's all whole, fresh food.
Like human quality food. So if you haven't heard us talk about Ollie yet, where you been? But basically, Ollie is fresh, nutritious food for your dog that comes in 5 flavors that they really do love. Right now, my dogs are obsessed with the turkey and blueberries and the beef and sweet potatoes.
I was going to say, Birdie is loving the beef and sweet potatoes. Like, she licks a bowl clean and looks like, can I have some more?
What's so great about Ollie, though, is there's no harmful fillers or preservatives. It's made in U.S. kitchens with ingredients carefully sourced from trusted growers and producers around the world. But because the time between Ollie's like gentle cooking of the food and your dog eating the crap out of it is very small, like it's a small window. And so they don't have to have all these preservatives to extend the shelf life.
Right. They like flash freeze it right after it's cooked. And so it has all the nutrients and none of the trash.
So when you're ready for the next meal, you just pull it out because it's frozen. It just takes 24 hours to thaw. And then you can, well, depending on where your dog is in transition, because you start out with small amounts, adding it to their food before it eventually takes over the world because it's so good.
For real.
But you just pull it out the day before and it is ready to go.
Birdie will see the container when I pull it out of the refrigerator and her tail starts wagging. And I'm like, uh-huh, I know you like it. Honestly, she eats better than I do now, okay?
So what you have to do is you fill out Ollie's 30-second quiz, and based on your information, they're going to create you a customized meal plan based on your puppy's weight, activity level, and all their other health info, like are they allergic to air, like my mom's dog? Are they, you know, allergic to their own shadow? Whatever. So based on that, they crunch some numbers and recommend the right recipe and daily portions for your dog based on hundreds of thousands of real dog results.
You know, I'm on my health journey and Birdie's on hers too. So I'm really happy that we found Ollie, or well, Ollie found us, because Ollie Oxygen Free, it's not going anywhere. We're going to be subscribed for life. So I hope y'all subscribe too.
Ollie offers 3 different meal plans that you can choose from. They have the full fresh plan, they have fresh toppers plan, or a mixed plan with their freshly baked recipes special for your little baby.
They also have treats and supplements too.
And good thing both of my dogs can share the little container that the food comes in, because let me just tell you, Colby's already stolen the other one for a cereal bowl.
Oh my God. Give your dog something to bark about. They'll be wagging their tails.
And let me tell you, Jax is just sitting there just a-drooling, waiting on their food. So right now, Ollie is offering a deal to let your dog taste test a personalized meal plan. Head on over to Ollie.com, tell them all about your dog, then use the code CREEP, and you're going to get 60% off your first box of meals when you subscribe.
Head on over to Ollie.com, that's OLLIE.com, enter code CREEP, that's CREEP, to get 60% off your first box.
And they offer a clean bowl guarantee on their first box. So if you're not completely satisfied, you can get your money back. So head on over to Ollie.com and use promo code CREEP for 60% off your first box.
I'm telling you, though, the pickiest of picky eaters, they're going to like Ollie.
Okay, the next one. One spooky tale and two palate cleanser anesthesia stories. Hello, lovely ladies. I've written in several times before, and as I know, Carrie is forever clenching her butthole about running out of stories. Anytime an episode jogs a memory, I have to sit down and send it to you. Recently, for no particular reason, I decided to go all the way back to the beginning and re-listen in order to all of your episodes. It's been years since I heard the old episodes, as I started listening not too long after y'all started. Two things inspired me. The Slender Man episode and all the Ambien stories. I'd forgotten about those. So I have three little stories to send in today. One spooky, two palate cleanser anesthesia stories. Close enough to Ambien stories. They're definitely worth a few laughs. First up, spooky. At some point in high school, I'm thinking about junior year, so 2010 to 2011, somewhere in there, I had a funky AF dreaming experience. It was the weekend because I remember I was either sleeping in or taking an afternoon nap. It was light outside. There I am, snuggled up, enjoying one of life's greatest pleasures, sleeping, when a nightmare creeps into my peaceful slumber. To be completely honest, it's been years, so I don't remember a ton of details. I know I was in a type of outside area, possibly a forest, and some mist and fog were rolling in. In the distance, I see this creepy, elongated, thin figure lurking towards me. He towers up and up, and I'm a tall girl, y'all, but this thing was way above me in height. As he comes towards me, my stomach sinks and I'm cold. I turn to run, which I do not. I've always been some level of an extra large pizza, and roll my ankles like Carrie. But it's like I'm trying to run in wet sand. I can't get any speed. The figure is gliding towards me effortlessly. He's a shadow. I don't really remember features, just darkness, and I become aware of his long-fingered hands as he begins reaching up slowly towards me. I'm screaming at this point, trying to run, glancing over my shoulder repeatedly, only to see him getting closer. And then finally, that terrible long-fingered hand grabbed my shoulder, nails scraping against my skin as he yanked me around to face him. I jolted up in bed at this point, heart pounding, sweating. I glanced around, but nothing was out of the ordinary. Just my messy teenage bedroom, gently lit by midday sunlight. As my heart races and I try to get a grasp on what I just dreamed, my shoulder arm he grabbed me by in my dream is just stinging. I assumed it was a residual feeling from the dream, but I looked back anyways. My arm, shoulder easily exposed by my spaghetti strap tank top. Side note, how the fuck did I used to sleep in those? My titties would be hanging out every which way now. Fuck a spaghetti strap. There on my extremely goth girl pale skin are three long red scratches with a few tiny little beads of blood visibly on my skin. Y'all, I have no fucking idea. I was alone in my room. We had two mini schnauzers at that time, but neither were in my room and neither scratched at me. No cats, nothing sharp in my bed. The scratches were obviously fresh as there was bright red beads of blood welling up. At this time, I had never heard of Slender Man, but somehow when I woke up from that dream, the one thought I had was, he gets you in your dreams. Synchronicity had me learning about him within a week of that dream. After seeing the art of Slender Man, he was no doubt the figure I saw in my dream. I don't have any explanation to this day. I lived in that house for a good 20 years, and it was my great aunt's before that. I've never had another instance of anything supernatural. I've never had a dream like this since. Who knows, but definitely spooky. Next up, wisdom teeth. This one is lighthearted. When I was 25, I got my wisdom teeth out, which is late, I'll admit. See, forever, dentist had told me I didn't need to get my wisdom teeth out because they were growing straight and had plenty of space in my big-ass mouth. I'm paraphrasing, but you know, it's kind of true. Fast forward until I'm around 24, and a dentist that is filling in at my regular office mentions I need to have them out. After bringing this up to my regular dentist, he said, oh yeah, definitely, you should get that done. What? Whatever, man. Out they'll come. I hopped on that before I turned 26 and aged out of good old mom and dad's insurance coverage. So the big day comes, my mom takes me up there. Bing, bang, boom, I'm in the chair, all hooked up to the stuff, and they put me under. After a small, from me, when I could still slightly feel something, they upped that shit and I was out. Next thing I know, I'm waking up in a chair after what feels like about a second, pretty numb and mildly confused. So already done? I mumble out to the room. The nurse pops up from somewhere behind me and says, yes, we're all done. Everything went good. Rest here for a bit and then you can see your mom. That's good, I slur out, nodding in and out for a bit. Y'all, I don't remember all the details, but I do know I feel so sorry for this poor nurse that had to watch me. Pretty soon, I wouldn't shut up. For some reason, I felt the need to defend the fact that I was a 25-year-old woman whose mommy was the one picking her up. Slurring and stumbling, I proceed to tell this woman how my mom brought me because my boyfriend, now husband, had jury duty and couldn't. After a slight pause, I then feel the need to make it clear my relationship isn't just a casual thing and to tell her that my boyfriend and I have been together for 10 years and he's going to take care of me as soon as he gets home. She's saying, mm-hmm, occasionally in a slightly more irritable tone. I proceed to say, I'm so sorry. I know I'm talking a lot. I'll be quiet now. Then I paused for roughly 10 seconds and started yammering again. Y'all, I know she was so happy to finally hand me off to my much more amused mother. I don't remember a ton of the next few hours. Apparently, I was pretty entertaining, though. I talked a lot and was mildly emotional. Once I was home, sitting in the middle of my bed, snuggled up with the pillows, my mom finally gave me the pudding cup I'd been asking about since she regained custody of my goofy ass at the dentist's office. I took a big old scoop of that delicious chocolatey goodness, and as I raised it to my mouth for that first mouth-watering bite, it fell off the spoon onto my bed. A beat of silence followed, then I started sobbing uncontrollably about my pudding. I continued to cry as I ate the rest of the cup and was very upset about the lost pudding. Fortunately, my mother and now husband were very patient and indulged me. I spent the remaining time, as the drugs wore off, babbling and occasionally breaking into tears again about the pudding. Last one, surgery 2023. I made the decision to have gastric sleeve surgery. It's a process, but one I'm very glad I embarked on. I'm not going to go into all the various info around the process, not that I mind at all. I'm an open book, but it's not super relevant. Instead, I'll skip to the day of. I got to the surgery center, changed into my lovely surgical gown. This one was different from ones I've seen previously. It was lined with a plastic layer and had a little port thingy in the front. I found that weird, but whatever. They come in and continue getting me set up. I found out soon what that little port was. I don't know if this is a universal thing hospitals are doing or if it's just something they really push here, but basically they preheat you before surgery. They said it helps with the healing process. I don't know. So they hook this tube thing up to the port in the dress, and it puffs up really big with hot air and warms you. Since hospitals are cold, it was really nice at the time. Then they strapped my calves to this thing that squeezes your legs periodically to help prevent blood clots and stuff. Cool. So all puffed up, preheated, and kitted out, it's time to roll into the OR. This bit I'll include just for the visual and laughs. They make me get from the gurney to the surgical table by shuffling over. Mind you, I'm perfectly ambulatory, so there's no reason I can't just stand up and climb up and lay down, but whatever. So here I am in my puffy purple plastic dress, tangled all the hell up in this hospital sheets blankets with a silly hairnet thing on, trying to shuffle scoot my extra large pizza butt over on this table. Meanwhile, about four different people are talking to me, asking me to move here or do this, and one guy that was for some reason insisting on tucking covers as I am trying to scoot. It was essentially a clusterfuck. I made it, though. Honestly, going into surgery wasn't the best experience, purely because I know good and well they are supposed to verify your name, date of birth, and what procedure you're having, and they usually at least give you a heads up before putting you under. They didn't do any of those things, but I digress. Skip forward to me coming to. As I mentioned, they didn't tell me they were putting me under, so I just sort of suddenly knocked out and was very confused when waking up. Slowly becoming aware I was sitting in a chair, no laying down post-gastric sleevectomy here, with some curtains to the side of me, other people across the room, and blankets on my lap. I'm still wearing my purple dress, although it's no longer puffy. I'm still wearing the leg squeezers, although they are no longer squeezing. Next thing I became aware of, I was hot, and I mean very hot. I was sweaty, and I live in Texas, so I know sweaty. The plastic lining inside that damn gown was sticking and slipping on my sweat, trapping in all the heat. The leg things were slipping around my drenched legs. Still phasing in and out, I start ripping at the neck of the gown, trying to pull it off. The nurse stationed to watch me comes over and grabs my hands gently and says, "Oh, no, no, don't do that. You have to keep that on." Thus ensues a 15-minute battle of me moaning and groaning that I'm hot and trying desperately to rip this gown off and get fully naked in the recovery ward, which is not private if you don't know. This poor man doesn't know what to do. He's trying to gently tell me I have to have clothes on. I can't pull my hospital gown off. I need to be careful because, you know, abdominal incision. Meanwhile, he's also trying to get me to drink this damn cup of water they want you to drink before sending you to a room to be discharged from. Finally, he had to call a spade because I got the gown off and he realized my determination to be freed from this sweat box was not going to be quelled. He took off my plastic gown, covered me as quickly as he could with a cotton one. I was still in and out at this point, but I didn't fight the cotton because I knew it wasn't hot and nasty. I wasn't naked like I apparently wanted to be, but I could deal. I was still whining, though. Finally, at his wit's end, I'm sure, because I also said, I can't breathe, I'm having a panic attack, and started hyperventilating. Apparently that happens with anesthesia sometimes. He grabs one of those hoses, remember the one that hooked up to the nozzle of the plastic dress? Apparently they could swap that thing to blow cold air. He gave it to me, blowing max cold air. I clung to it like it was the Holy Grail. There isn't a ton more interesting from that experience, at least not that fits the bill of doing crazy stuff under sleep-inducing substance. Just a lot of me grumbling and having to stay awake and drink water, I kept almost dropping. So yeah, that's the story of the nurse having to wrangle me repeatedly to keep me from flashing a room full of strangers. Hopefully you had a few laughs. Keep it creepy and don't get scared. Love, Charisse from Texas. Charisse, I knew exactly that purple shit you're talking about.
Yes.
And I was you after surgery as soon as they put that shit on me. I was like, this is so fucking hot.
In Texas, right?
I think this was when I had my kidney stone surgery. Yes. And I was like, this is fucking horrible. I don't want this on.
Yes.
I mean, I wore it because I'm a rule follower and I didn't actually say that to them, but it was awful. I don't want a warming blanket on me. I don't want any of that. I don't want any heat on me. Give me the cool shit because I am fucking hot all the time.
Isn't it called like a bear?
Yes.
Something because it was... I just remember that because I asked about it because they didn't do it to me, but you were, of course, Carrie was there with me in Texas. So what is this? Is it only in Texas that they do
no,
this?
No, they have it here too.
Okay. But you had told me about it. And I was like, oh God, I don't want to be warm. Now I would be like, please give it to me.
No, that shit is terrible. I'm sure it has its purpose. And there are people who are cold, but not this bitch. Not me.
Yeah. Well, I was not lucky like you to be knocked out for my wisdom teeth, and I felt everything, did not like it, hated every minute of it. But I will say, when I was having the blood clot issues and stuff, they were like, count back from 100, you know, and like, I got way too far, and I kept talking way too much, and the guy was like, give her some more. Give her some more. Because I was like, so what is that on the thing? What's this? What's that? And why do they make you shuffle to the next bed? Because, again, they hadn't put me under yet, and I could have just climbed up, but yet they wanted to shuffle me, and I was like, I'm a big girl.
I think it's because they don't want you putting your dirty floor feet up on that bed.
Probably, but I'm like, do you see what I have to maneuver over here with all the cables around
and
you,
all the
things?
The surgery bed is so narrow.
So small.
It's like, bitch, I don't fit. Also, bitch is my new word, by the way. I've said it like 14 times.
In my head, it was like a surfboard size.
Yes.
Like,
smaller, I would even say.
And it feels like you're just up in the air. You know what I mean? And I was like, I don't think I'm going to fit. You, without your anesthesia, talking about the relationship, talking about the things, doing all the things. And the nurse would be like, I can't help it. I tell them all my life.
Also, I just realized that she did a P.S. P.S., I just recently got diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder at 30. Trust me, I could get on a big-ass soapbox about it being missed in female/female assigned at birth individuals at an astronomical rate, but I digress. One thing they suggested for me was OT to help me deal with the sensory issues I've struggled with lifelong and had always been dismissed, eye roll. And my first thought was, damn, I wish I could do OT with Carrie. I wanted to say thanks because you talking about sensory issues throughout your podcast has led me to do research myself on a few OT techniques that have helped me over the last few years to some degree. We need more people like you talking about those behaviors and struggles openly for people like me who have just been told they are too sensitive or need to be still. Love you, lady, and thank you again for the impact you have made. Oh, that's so sweet.
That is really sweet.
I think because I have so many sensory issues that it helps me understand other people's sensory issues like so much better.
Yeah. Hell, Carrie being an OT has helped me understand my stuff because she learned more about it. And it's like, oh, that's why it's this, or, oh, this is whatever. It's like, seriously, it's glass breaking. Like now that I know, and I can't unknow. And I'm like, oh, that's why.
Yeah. Well, and it just makes you appreciate and understand the reasons that some people do the things that they do.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a behavior. It's fucking fight or flight.
Right.
Also, you definitely saw Slender Man.
Absolutely. The only other thing I could think of was Freddy Krueger in the one when he like stretches his arms really yes. long and like does.
Yes. Ugh, why does he got to do that?
I hated that part. I would have nightmares about that part.
One, two, Freddy's coming for you.
Three, four, better shut the
lock the door.
Oh, fuck. Well, you gotta shut it before you lock it.
But you have to lock it.
Yeah, fuck.
What's 5, 6?
Grab your crucifix.
7, 8?
Better stay up late.
9, 10?
Here he comes again.
Never sleep again.
Never sleep again. That's it. I used to get so scared and I would start singing it because it's fucking catchy, you know?
Yes.
And I would start to do it. I'm like, it's like Beetlejuice. And I'm going to like, if I sing it, he's going to come. And so like, I would like stop midway.
I used to firmly believe that Freddy Krueger hid behind my parents' shower curtain in their bedroom, like in their bathroom, because they always like pulled it too so it would dry. And so you could never see inside their bathtub.
We say it differently.
Yeah, that is closed to me. That's open to you.
No, but you said pulled it too. And that.
Well, because I was going to say closed it.
No, it's closed to me, but it's open to your mom, right?
Yes, mom says everything bass-ackwards to me. If the shower curtain is stretched out, that's closed because your bathtub is closed to me. Mom calls that open because she opened her shower curtain. Yeah. And I'm like, Mom, no, that's what?
No, yeah, you're closing the...
Closing the bathtub. She's opening the shower curtain. Like, we are polar opposites in everything that we describe.
If I'm in the shower and you, like, pull it open, I'd be like, close the shower curtain.
Yes.
That's the same thing.
I'm going to tell her that next time. Because it comes up a lot, surprisingly. Well, before we get into the next story, we have to talk about Cuddly. Cuddly is a fundraising platform that supports animal welfare organizations all over the world. Over 4,000 shelters and rescues trust Cuddly to raise funds and receive donations for supplies and animals in their care.
Y'all know that our pets are our family, and Cuddly's purpose is something that we resonate with wholeheartedly. Cuddly thoroughly vets and verifies every rescue organization that they work with. So unlike other platforms, you can be certain that your donation is actually going to an animal in need.
That part right there means so much to me because I always get nervous, and I'm sure y'all do too, about donating money to different organizations because it's like, okay, is this money truly going to help the people or the animals that it's meant to help? Or is it going to pad the pockets of the upper management of those companies? You know, sometimes you have these CEOs making all this money and it's like, okay, well, the people or the animals that they're helping aren't actually getting the funds. Well, with Cuddly, you don't have to worry about that because in order to join the Cuddly platform, an organization must be a 501c3 nonprofit in good standing.
And if you're anything like us, it can be so hard to choose just one animal to donate to. You know, we don't like to make decisions. Cuddly makes that easy too. When you make a one-time donation, Cuddly distributes the contributions to the animals and the organizations with the greatest needs each month.
With Cuddly, your dollar will go even further. For every $20 donated through a one-time donation, Cuddly will gift a soft and snuggly blanket to a rescue animal in need. Head to cuddly.com/creep today to make a donation to help make a difference.
That's Cuddly, CUDDLY.com/creep.
So like Donna said, help make a difference with Cuddly by going to Cuddly.com/creep.
Again, for every $20 donated through a one-time donation, Cuddly will gift a soft and snuggly blanket to a rescue animal in need. Okay, the next one. Hey y'all, Tiffany A. from Tennessee here. I've done two intros. I want to tell y'all about this one weird dream I've had a few months back. I'm at one of those old school Ryan buffets with family. Everything felt normal. Then a jolt. I realized I was dreaming. Lucid dreaming? Question mark. So naturally, I grabbed some ice cream, eager to indulge. But as I rounded a corner, a dark figure transformed the dream world. It grabbed me, throwing me around. Panic surged. I couldn't move, scream, or wake up. Sleep paralysis. My unwelcome dream companion. It was terrifying. I've had sleep paralysis before and didn't see anything remotely similar, though. All right, love y'all. Bye.
Did you get sprinkles on the ice cream?
Girl, when you said Ryan's buffet, the memories I've had. I loved their nachos.
Mm-hmm.
So freaking good. And their salad, their ham cubes, superb. And they had like all the toppings. On a buffet, I will get so much fucking salad.
Me too. And everybody's like, that's such a waste of your money. And I'm like, but the ham cubes.
It has everything that I want for a salad. Oh, so good. Also, their rolls were really good there too.
Yeah, they were. I mean, I still go to a Golden Corral because their breakfast buffet slaps, but
I've only been to Golden Corral once with you, and it was in Houston. Why is everything about Texas this time?
Well, the Golden Corral's breakfast buffet has that nacho cheese, and I put it on my eggs. But they don't have sprinkles. That's the only bad thing.
Oh, man. They do have that chocolate fountain, though, but I'm not a huge fan of the chocolate fountain.
Not really my thing.
I think it's like the chocolate just doesn't taste like milk chocolate to me. I don't know why, but I don't like it. But I'd tell you what, if they had a ranch fountain, I would be into that. But what I'm not into is some figure lurking and changing my Ryan's buffet dream to a nightmare. Are you kidding me?
Wow, our whole takeaway was the food. Completely forgot about that part. Like literally the whole time you were reading, I was like, oh, sprinkles.
God, it was so freaking good. You know how on all my stories, I'm like, their dream house turned into their nightmare. Your actual dream, like a good fucking dream, turned into a nightmare. Worse than a nightmare, sleep paralysis. Like, how are you going to fuck up my dream, dude, on the Ryan's buffet?
Okay, the next one. Follow up on my last email about the shadow figure. Hi again, ladies. I sent an email a little over a week ago about how both my boyfriend and I saw a shadow figure, and I said if anything else comes up, I'll send an email. Well, something finally came up again. A few things, really, but I don't think they're all connected necessarily. 2 days ago, I was about to cook dinner, but before I got started, I decided I need to take the dogs outside, so I set my pot on the stove and put them on their leashes and went outside. Once they did their business and we started towards the house, I heard a loud clattering noise from inside. I was like, what the damn hell? Went inside and discovered my pot was on the floor. Okay, first of all, rude. I mean, I know I got that pot from the Christian mission, but you can still treat it with some respect. A Christian mission is like a Goodwill for anyone who doesn't know. I'm not sure if that's a Southern thing or if they have those everywhere. Then yesterday, when I went outside, I heard a disembodied male voice say my name. It was a little distorted, but it was definitely my name. Also, later that night, my boyfriend and I went to get dinner, and as I am a passenger princess, naturally he was driving. We were going down the road when, out of nowhere, I see a man walking in the street and right in front of us. He was wearing a white t-shirt, dark pants, or maybe jeans, it was night, and white tennis shoes. All in a rush, I gasped, pointed, and yelled, "There's a man!" And he vanished as we went to hit him. He was that close and that clear. I braced myself and everything because while my boyfriend went on the brakes because I yelled at him, he never saw anything. Still in shock, I whipped my head around and looked behind us at still no one in sight. Chris just says, "What in the world?" And I tell him I saw a man walk in front of the car. Even though he's mainly a skeptic and was paying attention to the road and saw nothing, he instantly told me he believed me just from my reaction. Lastly, today, I had to go back to my friend's house because it's her husband's birthday, and she needed me to go in and set up his party decorations because it was supposed to be a surprise when he got home. However, his boss told him this morning they were giving him a half day, and she works a full day. So, Bessie to the rescue. Now, just a reminder that this is where I first saw the shadow man, and also it's haunted by the elderly lady who used to live there. And we also like to say her mom comes to visit too because a light will flicker or an unexplained knock will happen when we talk about her. Anyway, as I'm hanging up birthday decorations, the whole time I hear someone rummaging around the kids' playroom. That's where I saw the shadow man. I walked by once because I had to go to the bathroom, but no one was there. I kept feeling like someone was watching me, and also the light in the china cabinet where my friend keeps her mom's urn kept flickering. Once I finished hanging up the decorations, I texted my friend the pictures and told her I was out because her house was creepy and also her mama says hi. She replied back, "Oh, is the china cabinet light flickering? Girl, yes. Bye." We went back for his birthday party and thankfully nothing happened and no shadow figures were spotted. Thanks for being awesome. I joined Patreon June 10th and I almost caught up on the extra content. It's July 16th. Disclaimer is I work for my boyfriend's company and I listen for almost 8 hours a day. There's a lot on there, folks. It's worth it if you're able to get it. Much love to everyone, J-Bob. First of all, holy shit that you binged all that content in a freaking month.
Yeah.
It's like 5 years worth of...
How do you listen to us that much? Like, how do we not irk your nerves so much that you're like, I want to never hear them again?
It's literally an episode a week for like 5 years.
J-Bob, did you listen to her shitwater story? Because that and number two, those are my faves. I have went back and listened to some of the bloopers too when I just needed like a good laugh. And oh my God, I just forgot about half of the shit that's happened. And it's always like something that I look forward to. What I don't look forward to is hearing my name called and no one's there. Hopefully you didn't answer it though, because you know you're not supposed to answer when you hear a voice call your name. Oh, and me and Tiffany and Carrie were hanging out at my house this weekend and I have my Halloween decorations up and Tiffany was like, "Do you leave your mom's urn out for the Halloween decorations?" And I'm like, "No, I put her up for Halloween."
Also, could you imagine being like literally thinking you were hitting someone with your vehicle and then turns out no one was there?
No, my stomach would have fell out of my ass, and no, I can't even imagine.
Was your boyfriend a little bit pissed, though, because you scared the shit out of him? Because I feel like Colby would be, like, your initial reaction would be like, "What the fuck?" And then, like, "Oh, okay, you were legitimately scared, but, like, because you scared him."
Yeah, and he, like, slammed on the brakes.
Yes. And I never thought I'd be this person, but I, too, am a passenger princess.
So much.
But Colby the other day goes, "Can we just go one day without you telling me how to drive?" I said, "I didn't tell you how to drive yesterday." He said, "We didn't ride together." I was like, "But I didn't tell you."
It was a day.
It counts.
God, I love that. I mean, I'm jealous. I want to be a passenger princess.
I'm just like, I need you to appreciate that I really do know how to drive on the interstate. Like, that is the driving that I'm good at.
Yeah, it's the back roads and stuff you got to worry about, especially if you're eating Sonic. And I saw a bumper sticker or like a decal. I guess it's not really a bumper sticker. It's on their window. And it said, "I'm just a girl scared that I'm going to hit a curb." And I was like, I need that. Because I would just be like, "And I bloop. Over the curb." Okay, that was it.
The other day, Colby left for work, like, way before me. But, well, I shouldn't say way before me. He felt like it was way before me, but I don't think it was that long. Anyway, I had to go by his work for a doctor's appointment. Well, I called up to him. And the face he gave me as I was passing him on the highway was like, "How in the fuck?" And I'm like, "Hi."
He does not speed. Like, over the limit.
But sometimes he does. Like, sometimes He does. And then other times I'm like, why are we going 10 miles below the speed limit?
I don't think I've ever been in the car because we've always been like, you can go faster though. Thank you for driving and thank you for doing such a wonderful job. But
right.
Why are you in the left lane?
But it's always when I'm hangry.
Yeah.
That's when he doesn't go the speed limit. But yeah, also thank you for driving.
So Tiffany rode with me to take Birdie to boarding, like to a kennel. And when we were coming back, we had to go up a road. And she was like, were you with me when I got pulled over for speeding down this hill? Because it's like this one road that has like, it's not a steep hill, but like you're going downhill. So you go faster. And the police used to sit like at the bottom of it and be like, oh, you're speeding. I'm like, damn, I just went down a fucking hill. But she said that they let her go because she didn't have like a record. It was like her first time being pulled over. I was like, no, I wasn't with you. But is that why you don't speed anymore? Is that why you drive slow? No, I will say when she drives my car, she's like, oh, shit, I'm going too fast. She was like, yours is so easy to speed in.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't I know?
You're like, especially when you're listening to Taylor Swift.
Lord, don't I know? I wonder if that cop is ever sitting around and being like, what's the dumbest reason you've ever heard? And he's like, I do have one. I really do.
And then she came out with her Eras album and he's like, you know what? She was right. And the 10-minute version.
The 10-minute version. I was going to say the 10-minute version. And he's like, oh, this. Okay.
I get it now. Tay-Tay knows.
Okay, the last one. Hey, ladies, my name is Kristen, and I'm from New Jersey, and I love the podcast. Although the stories are great, I just really love listening to the two of you talk about, well, just whatever, honestly. FYI, we're friends. Now you know. Okay, on to the story. There have been multiple ghost-filled homes in my family. I've decided to talk about the one that I lived in the majority of my life. There were numerous incidents throughout the years, and from what it seems, there were multiple entities haunting it. This is a story about the first encounter. In spring of 1994, I was 14 and just finishing my freshman year of high school when my parents moved us. Yeah, it sucked switching school districts, but I survived. The new house was much bigger and in a better neighborhood. The house had been abandoned by a family that fled the country suddenly and mysteriously. It went up for auction, someone bought it, did the cheapest flip they could, and voila, my parents were the lucky new owners. The first time I toured the house, I was really excited because everything was so clean, new, and freshly painted. This house had a very large, finished basement, but it wasn't your typical basement. Since the house was built on a slope, half of it was full-size windows, and the back door was on grade. This made the space bright and airy, not your typical dark, scary basement. The steps landed in the middle of the room, so you could walk around them. There was one strange thing I noticed. Written with black marker on the back of the stair risers in large letters said, "Welcome to Hell." Maybe my parents should have seen that as a warning, but at the time, figured some kids must have snuck in while it was vacant and written it. Oddly, the owners that renovated the house, including the basement, neglected to paint over it. And even more oddly, my parents never did either. One sunny summer afternoon, I was in the basement by myself, listening to loud music and playing pool by myself, when I was distracted by a shadowy figure in the corner of the room. I could see it out of the corner of my eye, but when I'd look, it was gone. It kept happening, and I couldn't help but keep looking, even though I knew nothing was there. It started to freak me out a little bit, but I talked myself out of it, saying it was just a beautiful, bright day, and I was just imagining things. Until our family golden retriever, RIP Maverick, started slowly coming down the stairs. I called his name, and he didn't look at me. Instead, he was fixated on that same corner of the room. When he got to the bottom of the steps, he walked toward it and sniffed the ground in a semicircle around the corner. All of a sudden, he started barking at it incessantly. That was all I needed to tell me to get the heck out of there. I'd love to say that that was the last of the ghostly encounters, but it was not. My parents lived in that house until 2009, when my husband and I bought it. Yep, you heard that right. We willingly bought a haunted house. It was a great house at a good price. We lived there for 10 years, raising two babies. Now that we live in a seemingly clear home, when I look back at it, I think I felt like living with ghosts was normal, and now I'm realizing maybe it isn't. Over the last 25 years that house was in the family, experiences include the following. Something that two kids, on two occasions, years apart, called the man in the kitchen. Knocking on the bedroom doors when no one was home, except the person hearing it, duh. Footsteps walking down the stairs way too many times to count. Repeated feeling of someone sitting on the end of the bed, like I literally hated this. General irrational fear of the upstairs hallway. Sleep paralysis with entities. My child being tormented by a, quote, large owl while he was a baby. This was horrifying. A house guest hearing my husband's name being called. Hearing gushing water like a sink flipped on full blast. And right before we moved, a little boy appeared to my husband one morning at the foot of the bed. That was all in one house, and these are just the incidents that I know about because they happened to me, to my kids, or my husband, or while I was present. I've never really asked my siblings or my parents about any experiences they might have had. Like I said, it just seems so normal to me that I don't think it ever seemed necessary to ask. I do have more stories to tell, so maybe next time I'll write in about the house my parents moved into and live currently. Given that my father grew up in a very haunted house too, I wonder if it's him. Oh, and if you're curious, my husband and I did a huge renovation, and yes, we painted over the Welcome to Hell. Creep it real and don't get scared. And maybe don't buy your parents' haunted house, unless it is a good deal.
Well, I feel like for that, it's like the devil that you know.
Yeah.
You at least knew what you were getting into, even though you bought a haunted house.
And it wasn't just like overwhelmingly terrible. Like it wasn't like a poltergeist that was like making your life hell.
Yeah.
It just said, welcome to hell.
Yeah. Why didn't anybody fucking paint over that? That's so bizarre.
So fucking, ooh. No, I would have been like, ooh. I don't know why.
What?
That sound came out. But okay. That's what I would have been like. Not going down there anymore.
That was so weird.
Meanwhile, you're the cool kid playing fucking pool, listening to loud music.
I was not the cool kid.
Me neither. Not the cool adult either.
We were literally just talking about at dinner how we like to eat dinner very early. But it just works out so perfectly because we're all the same way. Like me, you, Tiffany, and Colby, we're all the same way. So it works out very well for our friendship.
Oh my God, did you have to bookend that?
I did. I did have to bookend that.
It works out very well because we're all the same. Like we're all the same. So it works out very well. Yes.
Hey, I think it works out very well.
And I think we're all the same.
So it works out very well. Let me have this. I like how it works out, okay?
I know. I'm so glad that we're all the same. Also, this is me and Carrie because we can't let each other have the last word.
Exactly.
So we're going to keep doing this. So, yeah.
Everybody's like, we get it. Y'all work.
Because we're all the same.
You see how I'll let you have that?
Uh-huh.
See how there demure was a pause. Mindful?
Oh my God. I was watching The Real Housewives of Orange County and they said
Gina
that.
Said it. I was like, oh, they're just like us.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh. Also, that gives you a view into when they do the.
Yeah.
What you call it?
The confessionals. Yeah. The confessionals are always way after.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. It was just like, oh, I love that.
Well, thank y'all for sending in all these stories. Y'all are awesome and very demure and mindful. And y'all are just like us. Oh, goodness. But for real, though, thank y'all so much for sending them in. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com.
Oh, and I really am glad that we had the palate cleansers and stuff.
Yeah, that was fun.
We need some more funny stories. Come on, give us your best pranks, like scary pranks. And yeah, Ambien or anesthesia.
And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.